The Court of Appeal has given one of 2020's most important judgments so far in the case of Tracarrel House Limited versus Rounsfield, a decision that would have been welcomed by landlords of assured shorthold tenants. Here to explain why is Barrister Brooke Lyne of Landmark Chambers, who acted in the case, and Georgina Redsall, Senior Associate at Charles Russell Speechley's LLP, who has monitored the proceedings closely. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, the crucial issue at the heart of the case is a bit of a tricky one to sum up succinctly, as I found when trying to report it for news, because it involves a very complex series of legislative provisions. So, turning to Brooke first, how best would you sum it up?
I think you're right on that point, and the judgment is particularly difficult when you have a look at it. But essentially, what this judgment is about is if a landlord fails to comply with the duty to provide a gas safety certificate prior to a tenant entering occupation, if the landlord fails to do that, are they forever banned from serving a Section 21 notice? That was the crucial question that the Court of Appeal was asked to consider.
Eloquently put. So what were the specific facts in Tracarrel that gave rise to the dispute in this case?
So Mrs. Rounsfield was the tenant of a property called Tracarrel House in Cornwall, and the landlord was the Tracarrel House Limited Company. And actually, interestingly, there were no gas pipes or appliances in Mrs. Rounsfield's flat. The flat was provided with central heating and hot water by means of a gas boiler, which was housed outside of the flat elsewhere in the building. But the parties did agree that the gas safety regulations did still apply. So Mrs. Rounsfield went into occupation, started her AST in February 2017. That was originally for a term of 6 months. And then sometime later on the 1st of May 2018, her landlord served her with a Section 21 notice, so a no-fault sort of eviction notice, if you will, seeking possession of the property. And then a sort of an interesting legal wrangle then arose, because what had happened was, obviously, she entered occupation in the February in 2017, but she wasn't served with the gas safety certificate that was relating to the gas safety check that was carried out in January of that year until the November. So the landlord hadn't complied with the regulations, in the sense that they hadn't served her with this gas safety certificate before she went into occupation, but they had carried out the check and they just served it late, and they had served it obviously prior to serving the Section 21 notice. And then there was another point that was raised on appeal for Mrs. Rounsfield, was in relation to these repeat gas safety checks. So as a landlord, you're supposed to carry out a check every 12 months and get a certificate. And what had happened was she wasn't served with the sort of the renewal certificate, if you like, until the April of 2018. So there was then a 14-month gap between the gas safety checks. And it was argued on her behalf that basically that was also a breach of the regulations, because they hadn't carried out the check within that 12-month sort of time limit. And that was like a secondary argument that she raised to say why the landlord wasn't able to rely on the Section 21 notice.
So a relatively complicated factual matrix for the case.
Yeah.
How did the lower courts approach the matter, and what did they decide?
So on first instance, and Georgina's just sort of set out one of the factual things that arose, was about the fact that she had gas in her flat, but it wasn't actually, there wasn't a boiler in her flat, it was from elsewhere in the building. So on first instance, Deputy District Judge Rutherford said that Regulation 36 of the gas safety regs didn't apply because there was no gas appliance in the flat itself, so the requirement never really arose. And then he said, but in any event, if it had arose, I don't agree with the judgment of His Honour Judge Luber, judgment we'll come on to in a moment, and in any event, a Section 21 notice would have been able to be served. Now, by the time they got to the first appeal, everybody had in fact agreed that the regulation did bite, because it wasn't actually a requirement for the boiler to be in the flat. It was only necessary for an appliance that had gas to it, essentially, within that flat. So at that point, it was common ground, the regulation 36 did apply. But His Honour Judge Carr reversed the decision on first instance and said, I agree with the reasoning of His Honour Judge Luba QC in a central London County Court decision in Mooty and Shorts. Now, that decision was from February 2018, and it's an unreported decision, but because His Honour Judge Luba is an incredibly well-respected landlord and tenant lawyer and now judge, pretty much most county courts across the country that are aware of it have been applying his view, which was essentially no gas safety certificate prior to occupation, therefore you can never serve a Section 21 notice.
And so taking those decisions together and other decisions on this point, the approach that had been taken by the lower courts has caused quite some concern amongst landlords, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. As Brooke said, the Carradon case, the Jan Luba case, was obviously caused a lot of headaches for landlords because it basically said, you know, you've got to serve this gas safety certificate before your tenant moves in, and if you don't do that, you've had it. Basically, it's a once and for all breach. You know, we've got one chance, and if you don't do it, then effectively a landlord could never serve a Section 21 notice, which is this no fault, you know, easy procedure to get back possession, and it would give a tenant essentially a greater security of tenure, because the only way then a landlord would be able to get back possession would be by serving another type of notice where you have to establish, you know, a ground, whether it be a fault ground or something else. And, you know, you might say, well, on the facts of this case, the landlord really should have known better, because at the time when Mrs. Rounsford went into occupation, that was 2017, part of these requirements were brought in by the somewhat ironically named Deregulation Act in 2015. So, you know, the law was already, like, landlords knew they should be doing this, really. But I think that the real kind of headache arises where you've got the retrospective application of this legislation. So in 2018, I think it was from October 2018, the legislation applied retrospectively to all ASTs. So, you know, if you're in a situation where actually you weren't even required to serve this notice at the time, you know, what was your position as a landlord then? Were you also, you know, unable to serve a Section 21 notice? It really wasn't clear. So, it caused a lot of issues for landlords, and also situations where maybe landlords had granted licenses that weren't really licenses, so they hadn't, you know, complied with these preconditions and stuff, and you were having to sort of say to landlords, you know, look, there's a real risk here that unless you can prove a fault ground, you're potentially not going to get possession of your property back. So yeah.
Also, just like in some of the cases I had, where you're saying to a landlord, well, if you didn't give it prior to occupation, you can never serve the Section 21 notice, and you end up with these crazy sort of factual allegations about, well, I did serve it before and I ran to the door before they entered the house, and it ended up this crazy arbitrary situation where you were asking when did they enter occupation, because they actually, their tenancy started on the Monday, but they didn't move in until the Friday, they didn't move their stuff until the Saturday, and you end up with this crazy, you know, arbitrary deadline.
So quite dramatic consequences for something that is likely to have resulted from, like, an administrative error or simple confusion over a timeline of events.
That's another interesting point, which is what Judge Luba said in the Carradon decision, is that, you know, the purpose, the reason why these regulations have to be interpreted so strictly is because it's not okay to let tenants go into properties that are unsafe, you know, where you don't know whether the gas appliances are safe. But there's obviously a distinction between a landlord who has carried out the gas safety check and has just forgotten, or, you know, not realised they needed to serve a tenant before they go into occupation, versus a landlord who hasn't carried out the gas safety check at all.
And also, and that's a really, really important point that Georgina raises, is His Honour Judge Luba didn't deal with the question of the gas safety certificate needs to be given prior to occupation, but not prior to signing the tenancy agreement. And if the tenant wanted to improve their bargaining position and say, well, actually, I'm not going to move in here unless there's a gas safety check that's been carried out and a certificate, it would be prior to signing the tenancy, but it wasn't. It was prior to occupation. So actually, it was a relatively arbitrary question, because at that point, if you sign the tenancy agreement, you're stuck with it. That was one argument we raised.
I'm sure it was, and I imagine it held considerable weight, because as I mentioned, the Court of Appeal has given its decision last week, and its decision on the headline point is one that will make landlords quite happy in this area. So what was their analysis of the position, and what did they decide?
Yeah, so I mean, the judgment is the judgments are incredibly difficult to follow, but in essence. On a majority
of 3 pages of regulations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really difficult. It's a bit like a Russian doll, because you're dealing with primary legislation, then you're dealing with regulations that introduce what the prescribed requirements are. Mm. And those prescribed requirements are by reference to gas safety regulations from 1998. So it's a Russian doll, and it's really complicated. But in essence, if we boil it down to the simplest way we can, on the basis of a 2-1 majority, Lord Justice Patton and Lord Justice King come to the conclusion that late compliance is okay, as long as you give that gas safety certificate at some point prior to the service of the Section 21, you're okay, you can serve the Section 21. And they said, essentially, that it's a bit messy when you look at the regulations, but the crucial things to note are all of the other things you have to do before service of a Section 21 notice. So things like giving the energy performance certificate, giving the how-to-rent booklet, giving information about deposits, all of that stuff, if you don't do it at the outset, it doesn't matter. All of that stuff, as long as you do it before service of the Section 21, you're okay. Or if not, there's some other way out of it to ensure that you can at some point serve a Section 21. They said that looking at the overall scheme, the approach that they've decided to take is consistent. They also said that the consequence, and Georgina referred to this earlier, the consequence of applying His Honour Judge Luber's approach is really serious, because the only real difference between an assured shorthold tenancy and a fully assured tenancy is the ability to use Section 21. If you take away the ability to use Section 21, what you're doing is converting what might be a short 6-month AST into a fully assured tenancy for life, but for the tenant deciding or doing something wrong which might entitle you to get possession. And they said that that's a really serious implication, and that probably taking a real construction of the regulations that wasn't what was intended.
Yeah, and they also sort of made reference to the fact, didn't they, that there is a criminal sanction, it's a criminal offence if you don't carry out your gas safety checks. So that they sort of talk about the sort of Section 21 embargo is what they referred to it as being sort of, you know, like a collateral damage, if you like. It's not the main sanction. So it would be unfair to landlords to be faced, I guess, with, you know, criminal liability and not being able to get possession of their property back. But it was a split decision. It wasn't unanimous, 2-1.
So you don't get many judgments like that, certainly in important cases in the Court of Appeal. You don't tend to get that many split decisions these days.
Yeah, I haven't seen one for a long while, actually.
I have to say, I'm not terribly surprised. In the hearing, they didn't know what to think. They were really frustrated. And I think that's borne out by, frankly, terrible drafting.
Yeah, I think they refer to the legislation as awkward, is it? Lady yeah. Justice King says, oh yeah, the drafting's a bit awkward.
That's as polite as they can be, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure, Brooke, you would say it's the result that matters, not the score.
Yeah, absolutely. And quite, exactly. We'll take a 2-1 win.
Now, the court, for reasons of the very complicated factual matrix that we discussed earlier on, was unable to give a final decision on the actual case in front of it, onto Carol. So what has to happen next in the case and why?
Yeah, so there was a new issue that was raised in the Court of Appeal for the first time about the later gas safety certificate. And as Georgina mentioned earlier, the later one on any view was done after more than 12 months after the last one. So what they said was, well, because that one was late, you also can't serve a Section 21 notice because you haven't complied with some of the underlying requirements of a gas safety certificate. Now, the court helpfully said on that principle issue, on the question of law, they didn't agree that as long as you carry out, as long as the late certificate is served before the Section 21 notice, it doesn't matter. But one of the factual issues that hadn't yet been decided because it hadn't been raised before was whether or not that later certificate had in fact been given. There was some confusion essentially over, there was two versions of the same certificate and whatever else, but essentially that factual question has to be considered by the county court, and then final disposal of the appeal will follow thereafter.
But in the meantime, the court's decision on that headline point in relation to Section 21 is obviously a very important one. So just to summarise, what in effect does it mean for landlords and tenants of assured short-hold tenancies?
I mean, I think for landlords, obviously, we would always say to landlords, make sure you comply from the outset with all of your obligations. But it does at least provide landlords with some comfort and some clarity that if they... there has been, you know, an oversight, an administrative error where they haven't been able to serve the gas safety certificate before a tenant goes into occupation, then, you know, it's just important to check that and that you've also served everything else that you need to serve before you serve your Section 21. And if there is any doubt whatsoever, then you should be reserving everything before you serve your Section 21 notice.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. I think the other thing to take away is, especially in the current climate where gas safety inspections will have been delayed or not carried out because of COVID-19, the fact that if you carried it out more than 12 months after the last one, it doesn't have a material impact on Section 21. That's going to be a real relief for landlords in the current situation. I'd also say, given the context where there's an automatic stay in place in respect of possession claims, and landlords have got a relatively bleak outlook for the next 6 to 12 months, really, this is a little bit of light for them, I'd say, at the moment. Probably a Pyrrhic victory for now, but it's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, there's also obviously the government reforms that are coming later on down the line, where the government are saying we're just going to abolish Section 21 in its entirety, which would be a big change for obviously for everyone. So yeah, this, as Brooke says, it's good news for now.
Yeah.
And are there other, beyond sort of gas safety certificates, are there any other sort of formal requirements that this kind of approach might apply to, other boxes that need to be ticked?
I mean, I think pretty much all of the other prerequisites to serving a Section 21, we'd always taken the view that those were remediable. So if you haven't served the how to rent booklet or your energy performance certificate, you could do that before the Section 21 notice is served. Interestingly, there are some new regulations coming in that are similar to the gas safety ones relating to electrical safety, which actually will take effect from 1st of July, so from next month. But at the moment, that isn't linked to the Section 21 process.
What you would really hope is that if they decide to link it to Section 21, the drafts person might decide to take a look at this case and, and do it a little bit better. One might hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And so lastly, I imagine that the advice that lawyers have been giving to landlord and tenant clients over the last couple of years is obviously going to change as a result of this decision.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've been saying we simply don't know for ages. I've got lots of cases where I've just been saying you need to sit tight and wait until we get a decision, Tricarol. So it is positive, certainly positive for landlords. The one thing I would pick up on is we can give a degree of certainty now over failure to provide the certificate prior to occupation. The thing we can't give advice on, which is still a bit of an unknown, and this judgment doesn't deal with it, is what if the inspection didn't actually take place prior to service, prior to occupation? So if there was no gas safety certificate that could ever be given, this judgment doesn't deal with that scenario. My instinct is to say, if you didn't carry out the gas safety inspection prior to occupation, you don't have a gas safety certificate, you can never serve Section 21 notice. Arguably, if no inspections ever been carried out, you'd say, well, that is the type of landlord these regulations were trying to catch. But I mean, it's going to be another case, I think, for another day.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually, because when you read the judgment, patterns, wording is, it's not as precise, I think, as it could be on that question. So yeah, it's, there's definitely room for argument, I would say, in the future.
Okay, well, brilliant. Thank you both for summing up quite a complicated case for us, and if I may say so, doing so much more succinctly and eloquently than the judges actually managed in the case. You have been listening to On the Case from EG.